Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. My name is Vishal Tekshalani, and today we're going to take the WTF out of ETFs. Joining me on the show is Charlie Viola from Pitcher Partners and James Whelan from VFS Group. Welcome to the show, gents. James, let's start off with you. Every man, woman, and their dog is jumping on the ETF bandwagon, but are they doing it the right way? I'd love to know, as a pro, how do you use ETFs in your portfolio?
We use them, two main ways that we use them, Vishal, is through having a core holding that just buys general markets, buys general indexes. And then we also have thematic, we'd call them satellites, I suppose you could say, just thematic ideas that take a position in a certain idea, a certain market, certain commodity, certain currency, certain thing, and lets that grow from there. But overall, we use that core area to just buy a market and hold it on the way through based on the underlying theory that markets usually go up.
Okay. And so you're thinking about what's going to be a core long-term theme, what's going to be a satellite theme that's going to be really outperform, right?
Yep, that's right. And that's just based on, and for the most part, it's based on what we think is probably got a higher likelihood of going up than not versus some other things. But the core holdings that we would have would be obviously the Australian market that most people with a super fund just want to have a core holding in that and a core holding in the US market. You'd be crazy to miss out on the US market. And the growth that's shown and will continue to show in this environment.
Okay. Core satellite, Charlie, is that the same philosophy you take? You've got high net worth clients. How do you build your portfolios for them? Where do the ETFs fit in?
Yeah, we're very, very similar to James. We use it for core and satellite. So, and I fear I might actually bore everybody because we actually tend to use most of the widely held ones, and we use, you know, from a core perspective, we like to use, you know, lots of those that have broad market exposure that'll give us the diversity that we need. We also use some satellite ones just so that we can get some sectoral exposure, pick up on some themes, pick up on some momentum. A bit like James, we like to pick the ones that go up and the markets that go up as well. So, but yeah, we think it's a really cost-efficient way and a really good way to generate diversity for clients. Make sure we pick up all the themes that we need to pick up, and make sure that we're generating the revenues and the yields and stuff that markets are generally picking up.
Well, Charlie, like they say, boring is beautiful, but the uptake of ETFs is increasing. Now, in Australia, it's a nearly $70 billion market as far as assets under management goes. More than 200 ETFs are available on the ASX, so there's a lot of choice. I guess I'd love to know, what are some of the common mistakes you see retail investors make when they're investing in ETFs?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is just make sure you know what you're actually buying. So is it real? Is it synthetic? Is what's on the label actually in the bottle? I think that the common mistake is buying things because you like the sound of it, as opposed to being able to kind of drill in and understand what's actually inside the ETF and what are you actually investing in. And I think the other one is those that are too thinly traded. So. Mm. We're a big one for using ETFs for what they were originally intended, which was broad market exposure and diversity and ease of management, as opposed to, there are ETFs for everything now, right? Like there are ETFs for how many people are walking their dogs during COVID kind of thing. So use them for what they were intended is my view. Make sure they're real. Make sure you can drill in and see the underlying holdings and know exactly what you're investing in.
Mm, good tips. Common mistakes that you see, James?
I've got sort of three general ones. Sure. More like four, I suppose, if you want to. The provider, knowing who your provider is that's providing it. There's some small providers that you might not want to have too much to do with, so make sure that it's a big, reputable name that you're going with. The other one is an actual physical and operational, functional. Don't trade an ETF too early in the actual day. So try not to trade it in the first half hour or on definitely not on the close of the market. Those spreads are a little bit wild. People who aren't necessarily as experienced as they should be going into the market and throwing it off a bit. Don't trade until 10:30 Australian time if you're trading in the local market. That's a really easy one to just remember because it'll be a little bit wild in the first one. Keeping an eye on the spread at all times. Try not to do too much. Occasionally, the ETF providers, the spreads will widen out. Market makers are actually the underlying facilitators for the ETF. Sometimes things go wrong. We're not all perfect, and the market makers won't be providing the exact spread that they should be. So just really keep an eye on that and make sure that what you're doing, you don't just go across straight across and hit the other side of the spread if you're buying or selling that ETF. You might just get a little bit robbed. And the other one is making sure hedging is a good one too. If you're looking at something that's going overseas, making sure if it's hedged or unhedged for currency is very, very important. So take, for example, if I can go into detail,
sure.
Take, for example, something that would be investing in the US market at the moment. And if it's unhedged, so say you've been trading for the, you say you've owned it for the last 3 months as the US dollar has massively depreciated against the Aussie, you'd actually see a fairly significant decline in the value of that ETF against the increase in your holdings. So if it's hedged, then you don't have that currency depreciation kick in. That's really important to do as well. If you don't want to have a view on the currency, buy a hedged for currency ETF that you can have the same view if you have the luxury of choice. Very important. And leverage is the last one as well. Try not to get into too many leverage things. You'll find that as the market swings around, it could be two times or three times as bad if you take it wrong. So just be careful on the leverage. It tends to cost a bit more too if you're buying something with a bit of leverage on it.
Okay. So you raised some important things there, James. So when you look at screening through the universe of ETFs for your client portfolios, what are some of the things that you're looking for? Is there things like size? Is there things like the simplicity of the investment objective? What are you looking for through your screening
process? We really like to have things that you can explain to a client quite easily too. If you start to get too confusing, then it starts to get a bit too funny. Even just like Charlie said, so we would probably take the position if there's a thematic that we like, then we'll go into it. But it's got to be something that's easy to explain. For example, there's a work from home ETF that just cropped up for obvious reasons, because the COVID thing and the code on it was WFH, and it's got stocks that are linked to that work from home. That's easy to explain to someone that's there. The provider has to be reputable though, obviously, but there's some really good big providers locally that will provide the access that you're into.
Charlie, what about you? What are some rules that you live by when you're looking for ETFs, you're thinking about them for your client portfolios? What are you looking for?
Yeah, so James stole my thunder a little bit on the equal weighted piece. So we like that as well. And you know, especially domestic markets, where really if you're buying the ASX 200 or 300, you're buying four banks, two miners, and kind of two-fifths of not very much of everything else. So we like that idea. You know, we also agree with what James said before in terms of bigger is better. So we tend to stick with a number of providers which provide liquidity, you know, and just the information set. So when you, from our perspective, want to go in and do a bit of qual and quant research on what the underlying holdings are and making sure that you are getting what you think you're getting in terms of the exposure is really important. You know, and that liquidity piece is really important because we've all got into something and then it's been an absolute punish to try and get back out of it when you wanted to get out of it. And I think the other one is for us is we won't tend to trade anything that's synthetic. We want real because, you know, what you don't want is think you're taking a certain exposure. You know, you see the oil price go up or you see the gold price go up or you see, you know, whatever commodity is that's the flavour of today and then your ETF's kind of not following the same trend. So, you know, from our perspective, go with good providers, know exactly what you're investing in and make sure that there's a good level of liquidity. And again, not to kind of push the point I was making before, but use them for what they were intended for, which was a simple, efficient and easy way of trading momentum and themes within a market.
Sure. I think you summarised the points there nicely. Staying with you, Charlie, I guess the thing with ETFs is, you know, they're drummed up a lot as almost the perfect solution. Maybe tell me about what you like about them, but what you don't like about them as well.
Yeah, so what we like about them, probably already covered a little bit, is accessibility, ease, you know, generally speaking, low cost. You know, often you're getting, you know, experts to kind of put the stuff together for you. So it's not easy if you want to run a, you know, domestic equities portfolio, trying to equal weight and keep that equal weighting in place over a period of time. You know, if you're running a, you know, a US portfolio or something like that, it's clearly not easy to go on to, you know, Pershing or UBS or whoever and go and settle a whole stack of trades in a, you know, in a 4,000 stock market. So, you know, ease and accessibility is clearly really important. What we don't like, that's harder to answer because we tend to stick to a tight-knit group of ETFs. So, you know, I would say again, you know, what we don't like is some of those ETFs which are synthetic, which, you know, what's on the label is not in the bottle, the ones that are too thinly traded, you know, the ones where, you know, they'll look like they're giving you an Ethereum or something exposure and you look in and then there's about $4.50 of actual underlying NAV within the ETF. So, you know, as you said before, there are 200 or something listed on the ASX. There's probably 25,000 listed on the US exchange and various other exchanges around the world. So people could probably throw away a lot of money actually sort of searching for these things and thinking they're getting a certain exposure that they're not. So, you know, I think the biggest thing for us is you know, pick your market, pick your sector, pick your theme, and then go and find the absolute best ETF that is going to do exactly that job.
Okay. James, I take it you concur with that sentiment, but maybe anything else you want to point out as far as likes and dislikes?
Yeah, we do. So going right down to more of a granular level about the way we work and a smaller, because we're a smaller boutique wealth manager, which means that we than a lot of big places, not necessarily Charlie, but the it means that we need to stay close and we can be close and we can be active. But it also means that because we're smaller, we there's no big research team that can cover 200 stocks and we can pick out from a universe of that. So therefore, the ETF seems like and is an amazing idea for us or a way to go for us because it means that we don't have to go and pick out every single one. You can pick a manager. That manager will do the work for us, and we can keep costs down and also stay closer to our clients. So that it's the convenience of having that and the ability to keep those costs down that we really appreciate as well. What I dislike about them is sometimes the concessions that you have to make in an idea that you need to do. That if we wanted to buy, for example, if you wanted to buy a European ETF, there's not specific to the theme that we want to buy in Europe. If I wanted to buy European tech, it's very difficult to find a specific European tech ETF that we actually want to be invested in. Sometimes just the range isn't going to be, which is funny because Charlie just pointed out that there is more ETFs than there are listed stocks in the USA. There's an ETF for everything, but sometimes you just can't find the exact one that you want to have. But yeah, so there's just some of the downsides in that is that you can't quite get the exact one that you're after. Some people tend to dismiss that. We tend to say, look, if it's not exactly what you want or it's not 90% of what you want, it's probably best not to go into it because that 10% might kill you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So just being mindful of what's in the ETF and if you can't find the right exposure,
as perfect as it can be, it's probably best to stay away from it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, let's turn to an area where in terms of avoiding ETFs or ETFs that you don't want to be investing in. And I think this is where things get pretty spicy in the industry because there's advocates for pure vanilla ETFs, just keep it simple, keep it low cost. But then there's other people who say, hey, if you're an active investor and you understand the risks, feel free to use synthetic products, go for leverage, go for commodities. Do you guys believe, and I'll start off with you, James, here, if there's an ETF that doesn't belong in an ETF, in a retail investor's portfolio?
For a retail investor, if you're taking a double leverage, I would say a short position is a very bold thing to do. Don't worry about leverage, but taking a short position in a portfolio is fairly bold to do based on the fact that, as we said, markets usually go up. So if you've got a short ETF in there, then as the market, like take what happened in August, we had the best August in US markets in 34 years. And you were going to hold a short ETF all the way through that, thinking that the economy is going to collapse. This is the worst economic conditions that we've ever seen, and yet the market is still rallying. So you could be right fundamentally on why the market will correct, and that short ETF will lose a whole lot of value, and you'll miss out on all of that upside. It's best to take the position, either be in or be out. Don't be short. Okay. And going further with that, if you're going into a leveraged ETF, you better be right very soon. Because if you're not, that will really start to hurt you on the way through. Yeah. If you're taking a position, it's got to be a strong position, knowing what it is and timed well, to go into a leveraged ETF, so a 2-time or 3-time leveraged ETF. For example, if you're, as the example is for people, so you take a short ETF, a 3-times leveraged short ETF on the NASDAQ. Good luck, okay? So, for example, over the last week, it might have gone quite well. So for every point that the NASDAQ comes off, your ETF will increase by 3 points. That's wonderful. However, like I just said, for August, that would have almost completely obliterated your holding. So that's if you're not real right real quick, it'll start to cost more because they do cost a little bit more and it'll really start to hurt the portfolio.
Be real right real quick. Don't get caught short. Charlie, what's an ETF or a type of ETF that you want to completely steer clear of?
Yeah, we're exactly the same. And like I said, right at the top, we use them for large broad-based core exposures and satellite where we're looking for kind of sectoral and looking for that diversity. So I tend to exactly agree with James. We don't want anything that's thinly traded, anything that's synthetic. Mm. And by synthetic, I mean that the underlying manager is kind of manufacturing an outcome to kind of match something. So, something like, and to James' very salient point, we would never have invested in the I think it's ETF's bear index or whatever it is, which, seeks to kind of do the opposite of what the market is actually doing. So, we take a 10, 15, 20, 25-year view of markets. We look for the best exposures we can, and they're the ones that we invest in. And that's where we think, especially retail investors, people who don't have huge amount of knowledge of what's going on in markets and the intricacies, they should be investing in those kind of large-cap, well-traded, broad-based ETFs.
Okay. We're going to finish off with a fun and final question. Before I ask this, please don't try this at home. This is just an exercise in long-term thinking. Now, Charlie, yep. 10, 15, 25-year view. If you could just own one ETF, which one would it be?
VTS, which is Vanguard's US Total Market Shares. It does all the things that we want it to do, right? Which is hold large cap, mega cap, good quality companies in the right exposures given what's in the market. So, if you look at the top 10 holdings, and I'm going to cheat, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, Facebook, Johnson & Johnson, Berkshire Hathaway, Procter & Gamble, Visa. And if you looked at the allocations, technology, financials, consumer services, healthcare, it does all the things that we want an ETF to do, gives us all the exposures that we want in the biggest economy from a global perspective, and it kind of does the job for us. And I think it costs about 3 basis points, easy to trade on the market, very liquid, one of the biggest ones on the market. That's the one that I would hold. Don't do this at home, but I've got a reasonably large position in that, my own personal portfolio, and will forever. It's set and forget.
You've got conviction. Nice one. He makes a pretty compelling case. James, what's your counter pick?
I think I may be able to beat him for conviction on this one. That if you said what would you want to do for the rest of your life, I would say I would buy some safes and I would fill them with gold.
Sure.
I can't do that in an ETF. Oh, I could do that. I could do that. I can't do that in an ETF. So I would do the next best thing and I would buy a gold ETF.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much what I would have in the portfolio. Portfolios, I think, are underweight gold. You just buy a good simple gold ETF. The gold price will go, I do believe it'll go through 3,000, probably 5,000.
But is that the only asset that you ever want to hold?
It's asked me for one ETF. I can't, it's one. It's the only one that I would want to hold.
Because it's
getting through any of the muckiness or the volatility of actual markets, and it's just buying that gold. I think that where the global economy is moving, like I said, the price of gold will go through 3,000. Probably 5,000,
sure.
And a lot of people are saying 20,000, which would be fascinating if that happened. That's probably the thing that you want to do. Whereas economies could rise and fall in that time while that is all happening. Gold will always be gold, and I'm not a gold bug by any means. I am not a gold bug too. Although I think I've probably just put myself on the record as being one.
If anything, your ETFs offset each other because in case the US market blows up, the gold's gold's right. Going to fly away.
That's right.
Well, the world of ETFs is a lot to get your head around, but hopefully you found that session to be a good exchange.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.